Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Infinite complacence. People went to and fro the earth about their little affairs, serene in the assurance of their dominion over this small, spinning fragment of solar driftwood, which by chance or design, man has inherited out of the dark mystery of time and space.
So on this edition of Into the Fray, I have on with me published author John R. Myers. He specializes in fictional horror, but is here today to share his own experiences with the paranormal. Welcome on, John.
Hi, how are you?
I am doing excelente, but no, thank you so much for coming on. I know that you have already some books that are out now that are fictional, but I mean, the fact that you have your own personal stories, is that pretty much why you wrote these fictional works of horror, or what got you into wanting to be an author?
That just happened with one of my friends had started a press in New Jersey, and he was reaching out and looking for people to start writing stuff for it. So he had reached out and said, hey, why don't you try to submit something for this? And from there, it kind of just happened. Like, I actually quit playing music when it started to work out writing. And I started making more money with writing than I was with music at the time. I've just been doing it since. That was 2012 I started doing all that.
And how many books do you have out?
Right now, I have a lot of more like short story anthologies all over the place. And then I've also been professionally reading and reviewing horror books for the Horror Fiction Review, also since 2012. I have four more like normal length books that are in and out of print. And then I kind of went the whole limited edition chapbook route when I first started out. So we did like real limited runs of 150 copies, and they would sell out pretty quick, a day or two, which is kind of exciting. So more recently, I've been into kind of rebranding and trying to reach a bigger audience than with my releases and, you know, that kind of outlet, which has been going well so far.
Must be a good feeling when you have kind of limited edition runs going and then they sell out quite quickly, right?
Yeah, it's funny because a lot of people actually go the other route. Like, they start bigger than want to get into the limited thing, and that's kind of where I started, which is kind of backwards, but it's been fun.
Sometimes going the backwards route is better. Well, John, right. I have a kind of a bullet point list that you sent me. Thank you for that in front of me. And I'm just going to kind of, I'll sit back and I'll let you kind of run through these. I know that they are, for the most part, in chronological order, and you even have some recent stuff. Maybe you have even more after your first reaching out and sending me this list, because it's taken a little bit to actually chat with you. But I will, again, I'll sit back, I'm going to zip it up, and yeah, if I have a question, I'll just kind of pop in.
Good. First, yeah, I have a list over here, too. And I actually have, because I'm working on a nonfiction book now with all of these stories. So it's funny, because since I've kind of like put together like a little table of content, an introduction, and my personal like goal and motivation for the nonfiction book that I'm working on now, it almost syncs with that bulleted list that I sent you, because everything has been going on since, you know, I was younger to up until I think like a couple months ago, kind of saw some crazy stuff too. But first I wanted to say, like, I think that's awesome. Like, your show is awesome, by the way. I'm a big fan.
Thank you.
Also, it's really cool that like you give people an outlet to like share stories like this, because it's not, you know, always the most easy to talk about.
Yeah, and that's why I always thank you guys for being willing to do this, because I remember, and I've said this many times, but I remember the first time that I actually shared my shadow person encounter on a show was on, you know, when I was on Sasquatch Chronicles. And that was so nerve-wracking, and I could barely get through it. And, you know, your mouth is dry, and you're kind of doing the big swallows, and you have to take the pauses, right, and everything. But once it's done, you're like, that felt amazing to get that out.
Right.
So, no, that was, sorry. Right. That was my interruption there. But, yeah, so what age did this all then begin for you?
So, with the goal and motivation for this nonfiction book is, and what I think is different than like other people, you know, have shared those kind of like personal encounter stories and books and stuff over the years. I know a lot of people have went through this like their whole life too, but mine specifically have definitely been since I was little. I also later in life, which I'll get into, got into photography and ghost hunting, especially in high school. And throughout my whole life, like I've been like saving pictures. I have a lot of pictures, this kind of stuff too. And then I really got interested in it in high school. And then also, aside from reading and writing books, you know, 24/7 and working my IT job right now, the only other thing like I do in life is like hiking. Like I go hiking all the time. So I have this laid out. Chapter one is called Hide and Seek. And this starts when I was little in like our first childhood home. And I say little, I'm like, I don't know, 3 to 5. I'm not the best with timelines, but like 3 to 5. So it starts with shadow figures in the basement of my childhood home, which I just, the story with this is in this somewhat creepy house in the basement, there were like 20, 25 stairs going down to the basement. The light cord was at the bottom of 20 or 25 stairs. So when I was little, I used to like sneak into the basement. I don't know why, just to do it. And it was pitch black, like no windows kind of thing. And I used to kind of see like shit. And I don't think like these were real, but like the shadow figures kind of thing would come out from behind the shelves that bordered the basement. And the further down the stairs I got, you know, the closer they would get. And then I would either have to run down to the light at the bottom and pull the cord and get the light on, or I would have to like turn around and run back up the stairs and, you know, slam the door scared. So it was kind of like a taunting game. Like I used to play when I was little, just, I don't know why I just did. But it was literally like 20, 25 stairs to go down, and like one of those old lights, you know, that's just a light bulb that you pull the cord and it, like, I could barely reach. Like, I'd have to jump to pull it and turn the light on.
That's like the very, very classic creepy basement. Yeah. When anyone says basement, that is exactly what I envision.
Yeah. And, you know, I was born in 85. So this would have been what, like, I don't know, late 80s, early 90s kind of thing. And it was the whole, what was it, like Home Alone with the washer and dryer, the heater, furnace, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was that kind of fear. Like, it was scary down there. We had two pool tables, the washing machine, the dryer, something else, and then just like shelves bordering an unfinished basement. So in this house, and actually the house we moved to after this, at night, this goes into the next chapter, titled Orbs, 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 right now. This is all working titles, by the way. I used to see, and it started in this house, and it followed to the next house we moved to. I only lived in like three houses from five to graduating high school, like three different houses. So from this house to our second house, when I would lay down it to sleep at night, there would be like these two, I use the word orbs, but they weren't necessarily circles. They were more like ovals, like oblong ovals, about a foot long and kind of a little more wavy than like an orb would be, like more circle, especially like in pictures. But there would be these two like orbs moving around the ceiling at night, almost like they were like chasing each other. One would move over by the, like where the light would be on, it would be dark, but where the light on the ceiling was would move over by it, and then another one would come and like chase it, and then that one would move. It would be like almost like this weird light show. And that started in my first childhood home. And when we moved, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 years later, it happened in that house for a while too, up until I was probably 12, probably. Something like that, like 12, 13. Like, and at first it would be scary, you know, like what, at night, like, what is this, you know? And I used to share a bedroom with my little brother until like we were too old, had a bunk bed. And I've even talked to him like more recently, and since he never saw them, but he's also like the kind of person that wouldn't say that he did or didn't. I remember, like, at first, when it first started happening, like, you know, I'm young and I get scared and I run to like my mom's room with my blanket and sleep at the foot of their bed kind of thing. Talked about it before, but it was just always kind of like brushed over, like nobody really talked about it. And I've never really since asked my mom about it, like, but it was just known, like, that I would see these lights and I would end up in there. And then eventually, like, it wasn't scary. Like, the first, I don't know, year or so was going on, it wasn't like nothing bad was happening. It was just weird, you know? So eventually it just turned into like, I kind of watched these lights on the ceiling, and it just kind of like helped me go to sleep, maybe, you know, like counting sheep. Like, it wasn't bad. Nothing bad ever happened. So I didn't associate it with fear anymore.
And how often would you see these things? Was this nightly?
It was like, not necessarily nightly, but it was definitely weekly. Like, it was something that happened and happened for a while. You know, like, it's like the one house, and then it happened in this other house for a good, I don't know, 5 years. Like, a good 5 years, it just like happened.
That's a long time. When they would appear,
yeah.
When it was one of these nights they would appear, how long would you see them? Like, if you had, you know, at the beginning, you're probably a little bit more scared, as you said, and you stayed awake. How long would they hang out?
It's like, I would, when it first started and I was scared, I wouldn't fall asleep. You know, I would like stay up all night, and it would go on for like hours, it seemed like, until I would eventually fall asleep. But and it wasn't like all night, but it was definitely, you know, until I fell asleep and when light came out, you know, I would even lay there like all night until like, you know, the sun started to come up, and then they would just go away too. Definitely not nightly, but weekly, you know, like it was normal. Like it was eventually like, you were just like, oh, you know, there they are. I watched them on the ceiling until I fall asleep. Like it just became part of like daily habit.
It's interesting, know? What we humans can get used to, right? Now, are were these things 3D, or did they seem more flat, like a reflection would be? Not that I'm saying that's what it was. I'm just saying, how did they look?
Yeah, no, there was definitely like, they definitely like had substance to them. And one was like a brighter white and the other one was more like yellowed. Like a little bit brighter than the other one kind of thing, but they were very similar. But no, they were definitely like 3D with substance. It would be mostly on the ceiling, but did not, you know, it sounds crazy.
Did you ever say anything to him?
Like there were times where I did like the whole taunting thing, like in the basement where I used to do that. Oh yeah. When I used to walk down the stairs or whatever, like I would say little weird, creepy things like, where are you? Or, you know, come get me, like just little like stuff like that, being real young and naive.
Did you ever talk to the orbs though?
Yeah, but like same thing, like nothing like ever really did anything or eventually it seemed like, you know, mood wise it was, you know, not bad. Later in life I learned like this feels bad, this did not, you know, like there was energy to it, it seemed like just not bad.
Did you feel like the thing or things in the basement were tied to these two orbs that you would see so often?
No. Because I think that the things in the basement, was funny, it would be like shadow figures. Because I have a shadow person story like more recently, which I think is, it's all connected in a weird way, which is part of this book. But no, I don't think that they were connected. I don't think that the original, when I was super young, those shadow figures were necessarily real, or just like fear in the dark, like me taunting and being young and scared. But the orbs, so I would say like the orbs were my first actual like paranormal whatever experience, because you know the weird lights can get into like what, like extraterrestrial and all that kind of stuff too, but I never felt necessarily fear from the orbs. Just really weird. That went on for years and I could watch them on the ceiling, and like orb stories and like stuff like that too have been tied into like migraines too, like potential migraines or what, parabola or parabolia or something like that. So I kind of led into the next chapter, which I would call Alice in Wonderland, which around this same time, like the lights were going on in my house. There was this one time where I went to a friend's birthday party, probably like age 10 or 12, like a neighbor kid's birthday party, you know, like early 90s, used to go have cake and ice cream, stay the night, watch movies and stuff like that. And so we did the whole cake and ice cream thing, had some popcorn. Then we all like went downstairs to like watch a movie and kind of like fall asleep thing for the night. Like it was a sleepover, all the boys or whatever, age 10 or 12. Well, I'm laying there and like one of my friends whose party this was that we went to, in the dark, like his face kind of like started to like obstruct, get a real long nose, like his face and nose like started like morph out into like kind of the dark, but it wasn't super dark because, you know, the TV's on and like all these crazy things. So I'd actually like read up on the Alice in Wonderland syndrome and it possibly being like linked to migraines and stuff like that, which I never really had migraines, but I do occasionally get like really bad sinus headaches over the years, but not like migraines specifically. But I would, like, that happened a couple of times too on more than one occasion, like eyes playing tricks in the dark. But this one was specifically weird to me because the TV is on and it's not like pitch black, you know, like you can see in a dark room, like a movie theater room, like you can see the person sitting next to you, and like his face just started to morph, and like, oh, that's weird, you know. But it almost be like funny at the time because you're like, is this really happening? You know, so that's another kind of, was it paranormal or was it, you know, just trick, you know, like trick of the eye kind of thing.
Well, that's interesting that you bring up the whole migraine thing, because I think they call them ocular migraines, and you can see like flashing lights and, you know, all sorts of, you know, distortions, really. I mean, so you said you didn't really ever get migraines except for maybe the more common sinus headache. But have you ever heard of somebody that... This may sound dumb. It may be a stupid thing to even say, but is it possible to actually kind of sort of have migraines, but not have a full blown migraine where it's easy to tell that's what's going on?
Right. I don't think so, because I've never really had, you know, like I've had a bad sinus headache, and when I do, like, it's for a day. It like puts me down for half a day until like I sleep and I wake up and it's usually gone kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm talking like these probably started around the age of 15 or so. And it would be like when I got a really bad headache, I would just go to sleep for half a day, or, you know, sleep till it was gone. And it would just be like, oh, I have a really bad headache. There would never really be like visual stuff to it.
Mm.
So I've always separated the two, but it was just kind of interesting, specifically with like the Alice in Wonderland thing, like that, you know, maybe, but I don't, you know, like, I don't know what that would be connected to necessarily, if that makes sense.
Yeah. The face morphing thing, of course, reminds me of one of my favorite episodes, and that's Robert, but obviously different situation. I mean, you're even admitting you're not quite sure what that was, or how to classify that. What if you even really kind of saw it then? Is that what you mean? Like, you kind of, you're just wondering if that was something very normal that your brain interpreted as something else?
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs, so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Yeah, no, I think I saw it. like I'm not crazy. Like, I saw it at the time, you know, but that one kind of, like, you know, over the years, like I said, in high school, like, I really got into GoFundMe and really started to kind of, like, you know, go places I shouldn't and take pictures. Like, I still do it. And that one is like, well, maybe that was paranormal, but not. But it's weird, you know, like, it's kind of interesting to document with the orbs that I think was more definitely paranormal than that kind of thing. But I also feel, you know, like I feel like some people are like more sensitive to things too, and there may be being like a bigger picture and things being more connected at the end of the day.
But I mean, when you woke up, you know, like, your friend's face was normal. This was not an ongoing thing, right?
No, no, it would just be like, and there was another time where we did like similar thing. Like they used to have these weird like reading overnight events, like at school, which was so weird. But they would like the whole school would like basically sleep in the gymnasium, and they would have like a book. Like a book organization come in and like sell books, and then you would like stay up all night and read books. And it happened, like I went to those when I was younger too, like grade school type thing and similar things. But that could have been, you know, like uncomfortable in a different place and just like mind playing tricks on you kind of thing. Just definitely weird to see when it happened. But yeah, when I woke up, my friend was normal. Space was normal, all of that. I forget one movie, but there's it was like a werewolf type thing, and it was similar to that, you know, when the werewolf snout starts to like come out of the face like that. It was kind of crazy to see.
I'm surprised you didn't run screaming upstairs.
Yeah, no, I think the orbs kind of desensitize normalcy for me for years.
Right.
So then, this is funny how I have this laid out, because they're like, these are my encounters with the paranormal from young to now, you know? So now I have chapter 4 of getting into like gypsies in the graveyard. And this is when I really started ghost hunting in high school. There's a place 20, 25 minutes from where I'm at. I live right outside of Chicago, like basically a suburb of Chicago, technically Northwest Indiana, but real close to Chicago. About 20, 25 minutes from here, there's a place called it's called Gypsy Graveyard, but it's also known as Southeast Grove Cemetery or something like that. And it has had like the reputation of being like one of the most haunted graveyards within X amount of whatever, Chicago, Northwest Indiana, all of that. And there used to be a statue there that there were stories of like the whole like stigmata thing, and like there's an angel statue in the middle of the cemetery, and like the eye would bleed like at times. So the thing to do would be to go to this statue, and then everybody would meet at this big creepy angel statue in the middle of the cemetery, which is no longer there because teenagers and vandalism and stuff like that. Like somebody knocked the head off of this angel, and like the statue's not there anymore. But the bottom half of it is, and there's red on it, which is maybe paint. And there was also a bunch of like kind of like ritual and like occult stuff going on. So this graveyard, Gypsy Graveyard, the story was back in the day, like I don't want to give the date because I don't want to say the wrong thing. But back in the day, like a group of gypsies came to town, and the townspeople didn't want them there, and they chased them off to this small area over here, which is kind of like a real small town outside of actually Crown Point. The gypsies were kind of like chased off, and they had disease and passed away, and they would bury the body somewhere in the back behind the cemetery. And then the cemetery was built there. So there's this chain link fence, and there's actually like a weird mound and like remnants of something weirder right beyond the cemetery. But it was like a hub for, like I said, like ritual and like darker stuff. A lot of people would go there for that kind of stuff. And over the years, like the place is just a hub for paranormal activity. So like there's been, you know, ghost hunters from all over to go there. Like it's just, the place is for real. So my first experience with this place, we still go there. I went there a couple weeks ago. The first time I went there, I had got a new camera, and I just wanted to mess with the camera. And we were taking pictures, and, like, you know, sometimes there's orbs and sometimes there's not. But, like, we got some, like, really weird, bigger green orbs this one day there when I got that new camera. One time, it was me, one of my friends, and, like, his girlfriend or something. Like, three of us went there. I'm, like, balding now. Like, I have no hair. But I used to have longer hair, and my friend had hair, and then, like, his girlfriend had hair. And we're standing in a circle. We went there. We went towards the angel statue that was still there at the time. And we're standing there just, like, talking, like, oh, what are we going to do? It was really weird because that day, you know, when there's, like, no temperature outside, like, it's just neutral. Like, it's calm. There's no wind. It's not hot. It's not really cold. Like, it's just comfortable. Like, it is outside. So, like, there's no breeze. It's surrounded by trees. It's like it's a graveyard in the middle of the woods. And there's no wind. The leaves aren't waving at all. Like, no noise at all. At the same time, we're standing there in a circle. And it was standing there, like, in a circle because there's three of us not doing anything weird. My friend goes, hey, do you feel that? And at the same time, like, he started to talk. Like, I felt something, like, almost, like, tap on my shoulder. And then watched his girlfriend's hair flip up, you know, so, like, somebody ran by somebody with hair and, like, flipped their hair up, you know? I don't know if people do that. It'd be weird if they did. But all at the same time, we felt, like, I saw it on her. He felt it. And I felt it on me, like, all at the same time. Like, somebody ran around and flipped the hair up, tapped me on the shoulder, like, it was just, like, kind of, like, playing with us kind of thing. It was really weird. So, you know, we stayed around. We, like, took some more pictures. That day, there was, like, a lot of weird light streaks, weird, like, different orbs and stuff like that in the pictures, too, that were definitely, you know, kind of unexplainable. It was kind of neat to experience.
And were you guys doing any EVP work or anything like that?
No, I never really did that. It was more just, like, I would go to, like, a lot of haunted places and stuff like that. And, like, I have a spirit box, but I actually haven't used my spirit box yet. But I always did more, like, picture stuff, you know? Like, I think I'm kind of sensitive to, like, feeling the energy there. And this place is, like, sometimes it's okay and sometimes it's not. Like, I've been there and nothing happened. But, like, I mean, I've probably been there, I don't know, like 20 times over the last 10 years or so. And 15 of those times, something weird happened. So, like, I always kind of put that on the list. You know how, like, you get those, like, local legends and stuff, and, like, some are real and some aren't. I was, like, put this one on, like, okay, that place is real, you know? But yeah, I never did any of that. Other people have. And there's, like, YouTube videos of people going there and doing EVP and, like, activity happening a lot. We had, like, a bigger group go through there and that, like, they got some stuff too. But I never personally did that. Just pictures and, like, a destination or something to do, you know, in high school and there's nothing to do.
So these gypsies, they basically suffered the indignity of having a graveyard built away from where their bodies were and with no markers there for them, right?
Right. Yeah, I think there's a separate mound and a rock, and that's the story on where the actual gypsies are buried. And then there's old, we were looking at dates last time we were there, like 1700s, like, it's old. And then a lot of them, too, like, with the vandalism and stuff like that, like, a lot of the real old ones have, like, crumbled, but they're, like, the pieces are being preserved, so they're kind of, like, still there. And then that main statue is that angel one in the middle, and that one's not there anymore. But, yeah, that was the thing, was they were, like, just treated terribly, buried in the back, and just a whole thing in that town. there's a little bit of literature available online on that place too. It's kind of interesting.
So what is this? Because I'm looking at the list here, and I want to make sure we touch on this, because I saw in here the demon face. The demon face in a photo in the murder house. I don't know if you were going there, but I want to make sure we touch on that one.
That's exactly where I was going. But chapter 5, Demon and the Photographs. So the story with that was, this was still ghost hunting in high school. You know, like a group of us went to this house. The story at this house was, I think the husband killed the wife and kids, and some terrible like murder happened in this house. So all I had for this one was an address, and this is a town like two towns away from here, and all I had was this address. And so we followed this address. It was me and 3-4 people at the time. And we get to the address and we park the car, and it was weird because it was like a normal looking like house in the suburbs, like a smaller like a ranch style house in the suburbs. Like, we're talking, there's a normal subdivision, there's a house next door. It wasn't super late, it was probably like 9 or 10 at night, and you know, like there's a house across the street, they got the porch light on, there's decorations, it's not a weird area at all. So we're like, man, this can't be it, you know. Just being young and dumb, you know, like, this can't be it, this place looks totally normal, you know. So we got out of the car to like stretch, so we just drove like two towns over to this place, and someone's like smoking a cigarette or something. And so a couple of us had cameras, because like that's what we used to do, is just take pictures of everything. And one of the pictures, like later, like days later, looking through pictures or whatever from that, is like a group of our friends in the middle of the driveway of this normal looking ranch house where this murder occurred and all this, was the most demonic face like you could imagine popping up in a picture ever. Like, if it was like a textbook of like demons, it would be like a demonic face, you know, within this the cigarette smoke or something, you know, above the driveway. So it looked like there was, and like you know, some people, like a skeptic would say, like, oh yeah, you just caught the smoke at the right time. But yeah, like, you caught the smoke like making a demon face, you know, like, it was scary. Like, the picture was like, oh man, like, what, look at that, you know. And like, I held on to that picture, I don't know, like a year or two. I didn't even want it. Like, I didn't want this picture. Like, I ended up throwing it away. Like, I had it print, like, this is when you could still go to a Walgreens and print pictures. Like, I didn't even want this picture like in my possession. So that one got thrown away, which I really regret, especially like talking about this stuff now. But I just like, I didn't want like any connections like a demon, you know? Like, that's the only thing I could explain it as. What do you think about that?
I mean, I think when anywhere you have an absolute like top of the chain horrific event happen, who knows what might be lurking around in that house with that kind of energy.
Right. And I just, like, I knew, like, I didn't want anything to do with it, you know. Some nights I would lay there and be sleeping, like, man, like, I'm pretty sure I have a picture of the demon sitting over, you know, sitting over there. Like, I don't want that in my house, you know. So, like, I got rid of that. And I really, that's, like, probably, I've had, like, a decent life. Like, that's probably one of my biggest regrets in life, is throwing away a picture of, like, what I think was a legit demon.
In closing, of course, thank you so much for coming on. And would you please, please, please let everybody know where to find you on all the socials if you wanted to give out that information?
Yeah. I'm all over social media. So if you just look up John R. Myers, and then also I am a member of the Chicago Horror Writers Association, and I actually do all their social media. So I'm like the current social media coordinator. But if you go to hwachicago.org, you can find out pretty much everything that's going on over there and see some exciting stuff. We just did a panel at Wizard World in Chicago, actually, which is really surreal, with William Shatner just went to outer space and came back to the same city, to the same Comic Con that we did a panel on creating horror on. So you had like everybody in the crowd wearing face masks and William Shatner coming back from outer space, and it was really surreal and post-apocalyptic. But yeah, you can find us there too.
So hwachicago.org. Well, John, thank you so much for joining me. I really, really appreciate your time today.
Well, I'm so-and-so. I was given this name by my parents. I've been to such and such a college. I've done these things in my profession. I produce a little biography. The Buddha says, forget it. That's not true. That's some story. That's all gone. That's all past. I want to see the real you you are now. Well, nobody knows who that is. Because we don't know ourselves except through listening to our echoes and consulting our memories. But then there's a real you, and that again leads us back to this question. Who are you? That is the real you. We shall see how they play with this exam. By the koans, to get you to come out of your shell and find out who you really are.
Thank you.
he says, when you settle down in the train to read your newspaper and so on, you are not the same person who a little while ago left the platform. If you think you are linking your moments up in the train. And this is what binds you to the wheel of birth and death. But when you know that every moment in which you are is the only moment, this comes into Zen. A master will say to somebody, now get up and walk across the room. And he comes back and he says, where are your footprints? They've gone. So where are you? Who are you? When we are asked who we are, we usually give a kind of recitation of a history.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.